But Mark does have one advantage over you. Not only strategy. No. If he figures it out, is the tape running? Oh, well, I'll tell him anyway. If he figures it out, what's his racial descent? What type of Celt? Cornish Celt. And what are the Cornish known for? They're a seafaring race. One of their pastimes is piracy.
What can you draw upon that? I mean, you could,
If you can
because
figure out.
you could just suck up on your past life experiences and go, yeah, that's right.
If you can tap into the racial consciousness, and we told you how to do that, put two and two together, you would be dealing with not just Mark, but his whole entire race memory.
We'll see.
Okay, now let's get down to business as I'm doing the ring mistress duties.
I'm quite well, I'm sure.
Okay, now let me see. How the Sleeping Beauty sitting in a chair with her portable.
He all crashed out.
No, she's linked into the main computer at the moment on a terminal.
Just monitoring the situation.
Yeah, let me see. Okay, hello and welcome to the channeling session tonight at 8:45 PM on the 28th, 29th of October 1997. You're gonna lie down. Do I have to coerce you? Okay, there you go. Okay. Let us give a brief dissertation on circumstantial moralistic behavior. And no, that won't work. Well, as I'm ring mistress, I'll work something out. Do you have any current questions for me?
Yeah, I want to know more about tapping into race memory that you said we talked about.
Okay, tapping into race memory.
I don't remember it.
Well, if you remember, we talked about meditation. Well, okay.
We talked about meditation a few times. What does that do with race memory and tapping into it?
Okay, this is how it's done. Okay. You sit in a meditation and you meditate as if you're going into a trance, as if you are about to do a self-regression. Okay. Now, the advantages of going into the racial consciousness is to be able to draw upon the learning lessons of the whole entire race, how it survived through various circumstances. Now, you can zero in on certain individuals of that ethnic descent. And one of the advantages is that you can look at it from the various interactions and points of view of various individuals, not just one individual as in a past life regression of yourself, but of a myriad of different individuals. You won't get what they are thinking or what they were thinking at the moment, but you will get what they experienced, sights, sounds, feelings, and you won't be able to change the actions because they've already happened. You won't be able to stop and pick up a piece of grass unless they stopped and picked up a piece of grass. You would experience everything they experienced except what they're thinking. And also, as you experienced it as it happens, as it happened at the occurrence. Let us say I was to tap into the race consciousness of the Highland people, not the Highland family or the Tanaka family, but the Highland people that lived up on the high plateaus where I was born and raised as a little girl.
Right.
You okay down there? Or do you have a cold? You have a cold, don't you? Anyway, let us say I tap into the race consciousness of the Highland people. And let's say I want to tap into the experience of a young man and his first love. I will experience everything he experiences. Every sensation, except for what he's thinking.
You a little too toasty in there?
There. Any questions?
Yes, why not the thinking?
Their thinking is because it is not your thoughts. It is not your past life, but the race past life.
Okay, when I'm doing past life regressions, of course, mm-hmm. I'm looking into what's being thought.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned looking into what's being felt.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think to say?
No.
Why not?
Feelings and thoughts, in the way that you mean them, are the same. But feelings, the soft fur of the kitten, the natural fibers of the blanket,
emotions,
but general emotions, not the thought process of the emotions of, oh my God, I'm so happy.
I was scared, real, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Why can't you look into this?
Because it is not your past life. You are experiencing a group past life. And you have selected an individual that you wish to experience.
Oh, okay.
But it is not yours. Or you can act as an independent outside observer, like a fly on the wall, where you do not experience anybody's feelings, emotions, or what they're going through, but you experience everything as if you are really there and you are participating, but nothing can hurt you because you're not really there.
Right.
It's more like watching one of your entertainments or interacting in a historical hollow or a hollow of some recorded event. You see?
Now, you mentioned the advantages of race memory, but you haven't mentioned it yet. You've only said with the description of what it is to tap into them. So what are some of the advantages of tapping into a race memory?
Oh, there are a myriad of possibilities. Myriad of possibilities. Stop doing the etc. Come on, get to the point, get to the chase. I am in my own inimitable way. Okay.
Let's spell that.
Let us say you want to experience the awakening of Sarah, okay? And you want a question answered of what was the very first thing that she did, right? And where did she go? It depends on the questions that you ask, that you want answered. To experience a actual historical event as it happened, to answer some question, how would you like to be right at the moment when John Quincy Adams, Benjamin Franklin, Paul Revere, and all those guys got together for the very first time and thought of revolution.
I see.
To actually experience and live through what they went through in a condensed form. To actually be in John Quincy Adams' body as it happened? Or how about at the assassination of President Kennedy. And to be on the grassy knoll to see who actually shot him.
Now, in this tapping into these to find out these events, are you guiding yourself or your guide guiding you?
A bit of both, actually. More the better wisdom of the guides.
So you're asking the guide to take you there.
Mm-hmm.
And the guide, if they feel that it's necessary for your learning path, will take you there.
Yeah. I see. But you can do it yourself, and it is a lot, lot harder, and the success rate is a lot, lot less. Maybe 1 in 1,000, maybe 1 in 100,000 success rate. Sometimes it could be evens.
Now, how do you separate race memory from a really active imagination?
Good question. Good question. How it happens is the pictures that come are not so much your thoughts. For example, you have your eyes closed, you're in your trance state, and you stop thinking and you see the things around you. Like right now, right? Stop typing at the keys for a second when you finish. And without thinking of anything in your head, look around the room, right? And as you look around the room, you see things. You are listening to my voice, or rather Mark's rather gravelly voice due to his current problem. You are seeing the colors, but you're not thinking thoughts. Now, let us take that and say that you are at the signing of the Declaration of Independence. You feel the warmth of Centennial Hall. You look around. You see all the hosts gathered there. You see Jonathan Hancock write his big flourishing signature across the bottom of your Declaration of Independence. And the thoughts that you have of, wow, oh my. And you hear the people talking. You see them assemble and make the hush as they read out the declaration. And you are hushed. And the feeling of awe that they are also experiencing is your own. Not a removed, remote experience. You see? That is how that you can tell that it is your not your experience, but somebody else's. Something that's not from a overactive imagination. Come here.
So it's the reality of the event.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You can't touch anything. You can't reach down and pick up a pen. You can't reach down and pick up the quill. You can't turn the pages in the book. You can't walk over and push somebody out the way. In a really active imagination, you can do these things.
Now, during this viewing of this racial memory, are your guides giving you information that they do in a past life regression?
No. They are there to stop sensory overload, to make sure you do not see things that they don't think you should. They are there to watch and protect you. To keep an eye on you, as it were.
Why? What could happen?
Sensory overload.
For example?
You're getting too much information into you. Let's say you are inside the Great Pyramid, right? The one on Sirius, not on Earth, right? You're getting all that energy pumping into your system. You feel the calm feeling. You follow Sarah as she walks out the door for the very, very first time. And you are overpowered by the smells, the sounds, the heat, or the cool air, and all these things start going through your system. Now, what happens in sensory overload is the body will shut down. When you have too much information coming into you, right, what happens?
Shuts down.
Yeah, you lose interest, your mind blanks out, you walk away, whatever. In everyday occurrences, when you have sensory overload, you get a headache and so on. Now, your guides are there to stop that from happening, because if that happens in your regression or your viewing of a race memory, what occurs is you're shut down in that time until you come to again. Now, that could be a few minutes, could be a few hours. That's not good, because you are stuck in that world for that length of time. Mm-hmm.
I see that.
Any more questions?
No, just one more.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like in your description, this has actually happened to you.
What, sensory overload or past race?
Sensory overload during a racial memory.
No, it hasn't. I experienced somebody's life that did. Mm-hmm. Because being a coercer, you have to be able to watch out for things like that. If somebody's doing something important and they have to do a sensory overload, right, you want to be able to nip it in the bud so that they don't have a sensory overload. Let us say I'm working with a young lady, right, and she is doing a very delicate piece of operating on equipment with a laser scalpel, right? And she starts to have, or a laser drill, and she starts to have sensory overload. Now, what can happen with that laser drill?
Not a dangerous thing.
Exactly. So as a coercer, one of my jobs is to be able to step in and take that sensory overload and turn it into something that is useful for her. Or, let us say, heaven forbid, I am assisting as a part of a coercer healer. Heaven forbid I ever get involved in that. And the healer starts to have sensory overload. Or the patient starts to suffer from sensory overload. I have to step in and be able to change the situation.
That makes more sense.
Mm-hmm. So you see, to answer your question, yes, I have experienced sensory overload. No, I haven't. I did in somebody's race memory, which was somebody else's sensory overload. And the reason why it was done was so that I know how to handle the situation. Now, I have had sensory overload. Love making. Mm-hmm. And it's quite common for a really intense love making session for it to happen for a woman more than a man. And I've had it happen a few times. I've had it happen quite recently. Sensory overload in itself, depending on the situation, can be quite enjoyable. Because when you get all your senses back, you're still on that high. And it's sort of like, wow. And you're not actually aware of the loss of time.
So you've never been curious to go back and see what Sarah did in their first steps out of the Great Pyramid?
I have been curious.
You are a librarian.
Yes, but that is one of the jobs, one of the things that I will do at a future time. Why would I want to go back now when I would not fully appreciate and understand the experience? And if I did it now and then again later on, then I might not enjoy it as much.
That's different from a third-dimensional point of view, where we will go through and we'll watch a singular sports event or some event in our history over and over again mm-hmm. to get more insight and more feeling each time that we see that.
Yes, but you're not actually experiencing it as if you were really there.
Oh, no.
You see, it's a big difference. Big, big difference. I experience it as if I was really there. Any more questions?
No,
okay, I've got a joke for you.
All right, go for it.
Okay. What's the difference between a masochist and a sadist?
Yeah.
A masochist will go, hurt me, please. And a sadist will go, no.
Okay.
So what are you going to say?
No.
Okay.
Greetings and felicitations, Russ, and how are you functioning this evening?
Fairly playfully, I'd say.
Yes, indeed. Okay, let us get down to business, and first of all, go over Curie's comments and dissertations. Well, this is a first.
Nothing?
Nothing. In her ring mistress beauty, apart from her playfulness, which is understandable, that is the way that Curie is. She has done well.
So we can even mention the Great Pyramid and all that kind of stuff on Sirius.
Correct.
Great.
This is the first. She worded things very carefully, changed the subject where necessary. I am impressed. However, this does not mean that we will change the format back to how it was originally.
I like this format, actually.
After all, Curie's playfulness sometimes does get the better on. Okay, now, on a more informative note, let us address behavioral patterns and changes of behavioral patterns. No, on second thoughts, let us address prophesizing dreams and how changing dreams can change history. Now, let us recall a recent incident of a telephone call. A discussion was held between the two individuals after the telephone call, and a dream was mentioned. The dream has now been changed. The prophecy has now been tampered with and changed. The door in the dream that the hostile party came through was open, was unlocked. In the discussion between the two individuals, the door was locked. An alarm mechanism was set up and later discarded. This has now changed the prophecy dream totally. So therefore, the prophecy, as it was supposed to be, cannot occur at that time. It doesn't mean that it's not going to occur. So, what has happened? It has just been postponed to a later time. The prophecy is still there. It is just at the time that it was possible to occur, all the factors were changed. All the scenarios were changed. So, therefore, at that time, it could not happen. It has just been postponed. Do you have any questions?
I do, as a matter of fact. With all these changes that we've made, haven't we also then change the outcome?
No, I've just stated that it has been postponed.
Right, so we don't know the outcome and whether it could change or not.
Correct.
Okay. If I could take then a point in our Earth history here to elaborate on this a little bit, we would take the dreams of Abraham Lincoln and his prophecy dreams that he would be shot in the exact manner that he was.
Correct.
But yet he took no steps to prevent it, but merely to record the fact that he had those dreams.
Correct.
And the outcome stayed the same.
Correct.
So all we've changed is just a better outcome for us pertaining to the prophecy dream that we have been revealed to.
No, you have not changed anything. You have just postponed the moment.
I suppose that's the only problem I have. It's just the fact that it seems like now we're better prepared for it than we would have been had we not had the prophecy dream.
Correct. You are better prepared. You know to a certain point what will happen. If the information is correct, there was no sign of a weapon from the hostile party. However, an attempted break-in did occur.
I think there's a knife involved.
That might be conjecture. Okay. Any more one question?
No, nothing on that, no. Unless you're going to leave us.
No.
Because I have a ad that went in, that's going into the Sedona Journal of Emergence I wanted to read to you. If Carr hasn't already sent you forwarded it.
Yes, but proceed.
Ashtar Command's base of operations for this sector has a webpage. It's the Hades base and the Hades ad. Da-da-da-da-da. Channel beings include Ashtar, Corton, and many others.
Correct. That is functional.
Okay, that's 30 words. You saw it aloud.
Okay.
Good. All right. Now, from this webpage ad that we were putting in there, and the expansion of the webpage to its, new readership, I suppose, is there any changes that you perceive that we should make toward the now direction that I'm directing this to?
None at this time. However, is there the address?
The webpage address, yes.
Okay. I did not hear you mention that.
Oh, that was a da-da-da-da-da.
Ah, okay. It is a brief visitation, Russ.
Yes, communication skill.
Correct. And the necessary two-way street that is important in communication. When you are talking in your manner as eloquently and as well as possible, and you have reached the point where you have finished your dissertation, monologue, speech, whatever, and you open the floor up for discussion, it is important to A, remember what you have said, and B, to listen. And in listening, you learn. Now, Corton has discussed the necessary importance of communicating crisply, clearly, and eloquently. And I believe those are his words exactly. To add to this, it is necessary to remember what you have said and to listen and look, watch, and react. React not on the spur of the moment, not with feelings, not with emotions, but to react having listened to the question, thought about it, thought about what you're going to say, and responding without emotions and in a way that will not create problems. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any more questions?
Yes, when you mention and respond in a way that doesn't make any more problems, that's not always foreseeable. It's only a logical conclusion that it won't.
Correct. But, for example, I am now formatting an answer to your question. The reply is being thought out. And sometimes there is no way to know how an individual is going to react and to take your words. But by watching the individual, pause.
God, I almost hate the pause right here.
Okay, by watching the person's behavioral patterns, are they agitated? Are they suffering from anxiety? Are they frustrated? By watching their face and watching their body language, you can see how they may react. Are they angry? Are they upset? By watching how they look, behave, how their posture is, tells you a lot more about them then you realize. For example, you walk into a room. You see six individuals sitting down. One is with his feet up on the desk. What does this tell you?
He's in church.
Not necessarily. It tells you that he is relaxed. Depending on how his posture is, is he leaning back? Is he looking? Is he acting distracted? You have one individual sitting, slouched, and looking at the floor. What does that tell you?
That he's not really paying attention to the scene around him.
Correct. You see one individual with his arms on the desk and on the table, and on his hands is his chin. What does that tell you?
He's studying his surroundings.
Mm-hmm. That is good. You see a fourth individual sitting upright and stiff. What does that tell you?
He is ready for action.
It tells you that he is paying attention. You see a fifth individual sitting slouched, but yet eyes fixed forward as if watching. What does that tell you?
He doesn't care.
Not necessarily. It tells you that he is paying attention, but he is relaxed. You see a sixth and final individual sitting there, slouched, looking up at the ceiling. What does that tell you?
That he's not paying attention and could care less.
Exactly. That tells you half the picture. Now, by watching over a period of time may tell you more. Let us take the last individual that is sitting looking at the ceiling. Now, if he is constantly moving his head and looking around, it tells you that he is not paying attention. But if he is looking at the ceiling and looking at what appears to be one spot, it could tell you he is deep in thought and listening very intently. Let us take the first individual with his feet up on the table that is sitting there. He could be the one that couldn't care less. Facial expressions tell you a lot more about an individual
I don't mean a lot more than their posture. It gives you more information. Now, let us take the person sitting bolt upright that is looking forward. Let us say that they have a bored expression on their face. More than likely, they are bored. Let us take the individual that is slouched looking at the floor. And his facial expression. Let us say that his face is relaxed and his eyes are closed. He's not asleep. He could be listening very, very carefully and thinking. So, it is important to A, look at their body posture. B, look at their faces. And C, watch how they move. If somebody is fidgeting and in a position that suggests either relaxed or bored, more than likely, they are bored. Any more questions?
Yes, I guess the step D then, as you mentioned, to listen.
Correct.
After you said something or they said something, is to listen to their responses and get a better idea of what each person's status or attitude is.
Correct. Any more questions?
Good.
Okay, thank you. Tick 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 tick.
I had to speak into it like you do yours and I interrupted you.
No, you wouldn't. Do you want to know why? Because you've set it on dictation mode, right? And voice recognition mode. And you would just set it up. We have a microphone pointing at you and a microphone pointing at the host body.
Yours probably have holocamera.
Well, actually, what I do is if I'm doing dictation, right, is I'll have a secretary. I'll go computer, secretarial mode. And there she is. So, what are you going to get the cubs for their birthday? No, I don't think they're quite ready for it.
Holographic capability.
No, no. No, I don't think they're quite ready for it. What I'm thinking of doing this year, I'm still up in the air. I want to get them something really, really special. Yeah, that's a possibility. Actually, I was thinking of ski suits for them. Special ski suits.
Doesn't even get the right skis.
Well, more snow suits, actually. Actually, that gives me an idea. Ski suit, snow suit. With little heaters in there to keep them warm. I can do that. Yes, and Tia. And we have a base of about a foot and a half at the moment. It's not skiable yet. So I reckon within the next week or so, it'd be skiable. Okay, got any questions for me?
Yeah, I'm going to bring it to
you. Not for a while. Why? From whom?
Just somebody up there.
Talk to my sister. Okay. Hello.
Hello.
How are you, Ross?
I'm not doing too bad. Just enjoying the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And so?
I'm doing fine. Okay. It's guessing game time. Like, 20 questions? All I can say is yes or no.
Hi, Alana. It only helps when your mom's sitting in my head.